Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, welcome to another Gear Garage Live Show. Here we are, another Tuesday. This is a show where I answer questions. It's intended for YouTube, so this is live. Please add comments. If you have questions right now, you have comments, please put them in the comments section. It's really fun for me. If you're listening to this as a podcast, in advance, I want to apologize. It's probably terrible. Maybe we'll do a good job. Maybe I'll do a good job today. There's no we. There's just me. Well, there's the people who are doing comments. So maybe the commenters and I will do a good job today, but doubtful. This is probably terrible as a podcast, but it's available on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify and things as a podcast. With that, let's get started with the show. We're going to start with a word from our sponsor, which is GoRafting.com. They make maps for your phone. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, I don't want a map for my phone. I'm old school. Phones are stupid. I go in the wilderness. I don't want to have a phone with me. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Use paper. Good for you. Great. But if you're somebody who is a little bit forward thinking, a little more modern, you want better, more accurate information, you want to know where you are on the map, that's what's really cool with GoRafting.com. Their website, if you check it out, they have all kinds of river descriptions. Go to United States, hit the West, and like, I don't know, click on Forks of the Kern, one of my favorite trips of all time. And here is a guide for all you to show more. Here's a guide to the Forks of the Kern. It's kind of short. Oh, here it is. There's more advertising. Gotta click away from that. Unless you want advertising from them. And it's a river description of Forks of the Kern with like information, maybe some photos somewhere. You can learn more about Peppermint Creek. Look at this. Whoa, that's a beautiful waterfall. And so they have a free description on their website. So you're welcome to like get free descriptions from them if you want to learn about a river. But the cool thing is the maps they sell for the Far Out app. The Far Out app is a separate app that you download to your phone, and then you purchase the maps from them, and it tells you where you are on the river. It tells you how many miles it is to the next rapid, the next camp. You can download all this stuff, so you don't need the internet to use it, including photos. When I did the Grand Canyon, I downloaded the photos of the camps, and so when we were trying to pick a camp one night, I'm like, oh, this one looks beautiful. Let's go to that one. It turned out it was beautiful. So I was jazzed on it. I don't know. I like this. I carry my phone anyway because it's an emergency communication device. I take photos with it. It's just useful to have. If I want to document something, I can use a notepad on the phone. I sometimes write things down while I'm boating. So I just think I carry my phone boating all the time, even overnight trips. And so if you're one of those people, I'd recommend this app. They have the Whitewater Bundle, which you save 83% with. The bundle, you get like a whole bunch. It's $59.99. This is a steal. I don't know how they can afford to charge that little and pay me a little bit of money for being a sponsor. I have no idea. I feel like, yeah, I don't know. This might be a front for something else because that's an absolute steal. You get all these rivers: Gates of Lodore, Tuolumne, the Hood, my backyard river, the White Salmon, the Middle Fork of the Salmon, Middle Fork of the Flathead, Roe, Tatsushima, a whole bunch of rivers, Fuit Lufu. So anyway, that's our sponsor. Thank you, GoRafting.com, for sponsoring the show, but also more importantly, for making killer maps. If anybody else wants to be a sponsor of the show, we'd love to have you. If something you do is good, like if you have a good product, let me know. We'd love to have more sponsors. But for now, we have GoRafting.com. So thank you for that. All right, let's move on to our questions. The first one is about raft pressure. I'd love to hear your thoughts on air pressure for rafts. How do you know when it's right? I don't know. You just hit it and your hand bounces off a certain amount and it's good. It's not something, when I was in guide school, they just showed us like hit it. And when it feels tight, it's done. There's not a whole lot more to it. I guess I have a lot of practice. And so I just know what it feels like. And it's a little bit different for hyperlon boats versus urethane. Urethane can hold more pressure, can handle more pressure better. Moravia maybe versus a air. Like they all probably want a little bit less pressure. I don't have an exact way to tell you other than just hit it and it feels good. It's good. If it's a low volume river, like Middle Fork of the Salmon at low water, I'm going to let a lot of air. I'm going to run soggy on purpose. So I do sometimes choose my air pressure for the river I'm doing. if I want the boat super responsive for making moves, I'll do pretty tight. If I'm worried about flipping, I might soften it a little bit. Softer boats, I think, are less tendency to flip. But a really rigid boat, kind of once it goes, where a soft boat kind of bends a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good answer other than just it's like an art form, I guess. What do you think about these digital air pressure caps like Trib and the one NRS sells? NRS sells a digital air pressure cap? Really? Let me Google this. NRS digital air pressure cap. Do they really sell one? I feel like that Trib company kind of invented this. And now NRS. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Sorry, I'll open up the webpage. I'm on the internet right now. Remove that, add that. I think NRS sells the Trib one. If NRS made their own, I'd be very frustrated because I would feel like they're just taking somebody else's idea and putting a name on it. But I think this is just the Trib one. So this is the one. It looks like it's solar powered. It tells you the PSI. It's not, I don't know. I don't even know what PSI, like if you gave me the cap, I wouldn't know the number. I don't know how much PSI a raft should be. The manufacturers will tell you a number, which I found is not actually always correct. So if you like numbers and like stressing out about things that don't matter that much, I think this is a good idea. There's something else, a digital pressure gauge, or my wing boats all come with a pressure gauge. If you just want to like put it in, you don't have to have the valve with the thing on top. You can just buy the gauge and test them. Like, to be honest with you, I've never used one ever. But even just to see if they work. I think they're kind of silly. So I don't know. My opinion is if you like stuff like that, cool. I don't know. I know you should let some air out when driving over mountain passes or when there's boats sitting in the sun. Yeah, that, just do it. Like if you hit it and it's super tight, let some air out. Or if you let a little bit air out, it's hard to push the thing in. That happened to me the other day. I was like, it was hard to push the valve in it. I knew it was super tight. I let some air out. But other than that, how important is it to get the air pressure just right on the water? Thanks and keep up the good work. I don't know. It's important. It's not like something that stresses me out. It doesn't keep me up at night. It's nice to do, but you know, you don't want it too soft and you don't want to blow your chambers. I think there's a big range in there. Like this is blowing your chambers. This is too soft. And you, anywhere in here, I'm personally generally pretty happy. If I was racing or I'm like, I don't know, super nerdy about it. Like my friend Dougie Fresh probably had a spreadsheet of the air pressure and all the strips. Yeah, I'd care, but I don't really care that much. Yo, what's up, Willie Bum Bum? Man, welcome back. Good to see you around. Here we go, Heidi. The quick check pressure gauge works well. Stowtrop provides them or did with the raft and carry out purchases. Takes the guesswork out of boat inflation. I would honestly rather just save the $12 and not get the air pressure gauge. I have a bunch of them. One of these things. I have a bunch of them in Grants Pass. Every time I buy a winged boat, I get a pressure gauge. And it's hard to throw them away. But I'd rather, like, however much they cost, I'd rather be charged less and not get those air pressure gauges. Soft boat for low volume, tight. Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb. I definitely have the boat inflation matching the river I'm doing that day. Like, it's subtle, and I can't explain how I do it and how I know it's good. I just know from experience, I guess. The Trib air cap is cool, but it has cost me more than it's worth. I had an issue with one leaking during a day trip. Yeah, as soon as they leak, they're done. I mean, I would assume that Leefield makes better valves than Trib. I would just assume. Like, Leefield, or actually the Trib thing is just a cap. Hold on, let's go back. I've never used it, so I don't know. I've seen it before. Is it just a cap or the whole valve? Let's see this thing. You would think Trib website would come up before anybody else. Maybe they don't have a website. It looks like it's just the cap, not the whole valve. Oh, jeez. Amazon's making me do things. Yeah, I think it's just the cap that goes over the valve. Interesting side note about here, we can open this up to look at it. There we go. Yeah, it looks like it's just the cap. Yeah. So it's not the whole valve. You use the same valve. But an interesting thing is if you talk to the manufacturers of the valves, the cap is the primary for holding air in. The valve itself is the secondary. So the primary seal, the best seal, gets from screwing the cap down. The little pushy thing is meant as a secondary thing, which I thought was interesting. I thought of it opposite. Like the pushy thing was the main thing that held the air in. and the cap was secondary. Because I've been on a bunch of trips that casters missing, and we still are fine. Like, it's never been a problem. But I was on an Illinois trip or a Hawaii trip once where a private group had their valve was bleeding in or was broken. And they were pulling the boat out, and they were asking us for a spare valve. And we had one, but I don't want to give them our spare in case we had a problem, which I probably should have. But I just told them to put their cap on. They're like, oh, you can do that? I'm like, yeah, you just use the cap. That's the primary. And they put their boat back in the water and went and had a great time. Everything was fine. That's a good, interesting dilemma. Like, when you have spare parts and somebody needs one to put in, should you give them your spares? And, like, they're put in. I could see if they're, like, a mile down the road, they're on the river. But, like, if you don't have the right equipment, you didn't bring the right equipment with you, and then asking somebody else to give their spare stuff up, I was kind of torn because, like, what if our valve breaks? And we gave ours away. I brought it so we had a backup. I didn't bring enough for everybody. Like, ethically, does everybody have an opinion? Should you give it to people? Or should you protect your trip? I don't know. I chose to protect the trip. But I also solved the problem. I just said, use the cap. You're good. And they were literally not going to go. They were going to pull the boat out of the water. They drove all the way there. The valve didn't work. And they were literally not going to go. So they got to keep going. Okay. Another comment. Oh, sweet. I received some stickers from River Hardware with my hat, and I'd like to purchase more. Can you throw up some stickers for sale? The paddle, the skeleton, hands-on is sick. Yeah, I could probably do that. It's a good idea. I'll make a note somewhere. I wish I had a paper. I'm going to pretend to take a note. If I forget, I don't know, write me an email or something. If you send me your address, I'll just mail you some stickers. I don't need to sell them. Okay, here we go. Next question. Again, anybody have any questions, any opinions about my ethical thing where I'm like, does a put in needs your backup? Do you give it to them or do you protect your trip? I'm kind of curious what everybody thinks. Okay, back to questions. Good question. Okay, tech support. Oh, great. Hi, Zach. Love the show. Great content. Oh, thank you. That's buttered me up. I'm filming our main salmon trip this year with a GoPro. What do you use or what have you heard of to merge and edit GoPro clips into one seamless video with text and music? I need something old guy friendly since I'm not super tech savvy. Got any tips or tricks you've learned from your own experience? Thanks. Here's what I found. I use Final Cut Pro. I don't think it's complicated, but it's not easy. I think GoPro has built-in software. Like, you can download the GoPro app, or there's some GoPro, I think it's called GoPro Quick. There's some software that comes with it, or you use it. It's free, I think. I think it's free. The more control you want over your video, the more complicated the software is going to be. So there's some software you just like, I don't know, you probably plug your GoPro in and say, make me a video, and it puts something out. But as soon as you want things like the order of the clips, you want music, you want this or that, it's going to take you down a more complicated path. So because you want to merge and edit GoPro clips into one seamless video with text and music, you're already down the complicated path. So since you're not tech savvy, you either need to get tech savvy or you need to lower your expectations for what you're going to do. One thing I found works great is Fiverr. You could also just go to like Fiverr, which is a website that like you hire people to do things for you for, it used to be $5, now it's more. Let's try it. Let's actually go to the internet and see what the internet does for us. So Fiverr, I think it's Fiverr.com. So just put in there like, make me a video. A seamless video from my footage. Let's see what it does. Oh, I have to sign in. There we go. I will make a full anime. Well, that's weird. Full anime recap video. I'll produce your explainer video from A to Z. I will make combined animated footage and video. Somewhere here, you could probably find somebody. You just mail them or upload the stuff, and they'll just make it for you. I'm sure if you look hard enough, you can just pay somebody to do it. If you want to do it on your own, you either have to like get tech savvy or reduce your expectations. The other thing I would try, I mean, this works for a lot of stuff. Make me a video from my GoPro footage with music and text. Let's ask ChatGPT. Boom. Here we go. Whoa. It looks like ChatGPT might do it. Upload your footage. Yeah, you can upload an attachment here, upload one or several clips, let them know the order. ChatGPT, here you go. I just solved your problem. Just go to ChatGPT, ask. I mean, I'm not even this channel I have, this honestly, we could ask it the last question. What was the last question again? I mean, let's see what it says. I mean, I'm not even needed anymore. Honestly, let's see. Here we go. Let's just put this into ChatGPT and see if I can get a better answer. Here we go. So this is the, for those of you that are listening, I mean, this is an amazing answer. It says, hey, thanks. Really appreciate the kind words and great question. That's what I said. It says most inflatable rafts run between 2.5 to 3 PSI in the main tubes. Floaters often want more. I don't know if that's true or not. It's just ChatGPT. It says too low, the raft will feel soft, sluggish, and less responsive. You'll lose some of that crisp tracking and punch to power away. That's probably true. Too high, you risk stressing seams or valves, especially in the heater at elevation. Overinflated boats get really sketchy if the sun's cooking on them. Yep. I mean, digital air. Here we go. Digital aircraft or air pressure caps like Trib. Worth it? I think they're actually pretty rad. This is what ChatGPT is saying. Especially if you're running multi-day trips and need to stay dialed, you're new to rafting and still getting the hang of feeling the right pressure, you've got a high-end or heavily loaded rig where the right PSI really matters. Pros, you know your PSI. They help with slow leaks. Super convenient. Cons, at a low cost, slightly more to manage, may not be super accurate across all temps unless calibrated well. I mean, guys, look at it. It goes on. This is spectacular. Like, honestly, like, I don't know if I'm this video channel is even needed anymore. This is just go to ChatGPT. Okay, let's go back to our questions. You're ethically supposed to protect your trip. Yeah, I mean, especially as a guide, like I'm responsible for people and their safety. So that's kind of how I feel, but it seems kind of selfish. Willie Bum Bum, down to your thoughts. Willie Bum Bum did give me toilet paper in the Grand Canyon. So Willie Bum Bum would probably say, help your bros out. But Willie Bum Bum, you helped me out. Would you have helped out random private trip that was running low on toilet paper? That's the question. Yeah, iMovie on Mac. Yeah, that's a good type 2 adventures. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. iMovie is sweet. I would highly recommend iMovie. Here we go. Monday morning, Willie Bum Bum's back. Attempt to fix their boat for them with their repair kit. That's what I did. Protector trip is number one. I'm out on stream, I'll share. Also, I kind of expect support downstream. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I basically just told them the cap, if you put the cap on, it's going to hold air. And that was before I knew the cap was the primary. I used to think it was a secondary. But I'm like, yeah, guys, just, and if you have to pump it up once a day or twice a day, just pump it up. Go on the Oahu. What are you doing, like, not running the river? ChatGPT told me about a new boat I should check out, the NRS Outlaw. I got so excited that I learned, and then learned it made it all up. That's funny. That's too bad. Yeah, I mean, this could be not true. So, but also, guys, I'm probably making stuff up too. You don't know what to believe with me either. So, like, this advice I'm giving you is worth pretty much what it costs you. All right, I think we got to the end of that one. Tech support, honestly. I kind of want to make a ChatGPT video now. Upload the video there. Tell it what you want. It'll make you a video. That seems like the way to go. Okay. Topic. This is our last question. Dish bucket water. Love the show. Man, thank you for buttering me up. I appreciate it. Thank you for keeping us up. I always look forward to the Tuesday show and many of the reviews, testing, and topics you cover. Thank you. You know, it makes me feel good. I appreciate the nice comments. Once in a while, I get a comment that I'm like a complete idiot, that I shouldn't be on the internet, that I'm super cocky, which is true, but I don't want to hear it. So, you know, getting these nice comments really helps me feel good. So thank you. All right. For getting rid of dishwater. Oh, here we go. For getting rid of dishwater water, different rivers have different rules. My understanding. And also, thank you for writing in complete sentences, or at least close to complete sentences. I appreciate that. It helps me read. Okay, here we go. My understanding is that for high-volume rivers, it's better to dispose of strained dishwater into the river. For smaller rivers, Smith Middle Fork Salmon, you're supposed to disperse the water above the high water line and away from camp. For low-use camps, I guess this could make sense that eventually the rain will do its thing and they'll soak it in the ground. For desert trips or popular camps, this just seems like a recipe for attracting pests. Even if you can strain every bit of food, there's still going to be oils and dissolved sugars, which will get tossed on the ground. Maybe my concept of how much oil, sugar, small stuff gets left behind is wrong. I'm assuming that these rules have science research behind them. Any thoughts or idea on this? Yeah, I have a lot of complex thoughts. I'm not even sure how far to go on this. Oh, man, this is a great question. This might be my favorite Gear Garage question of all time. I've thought about this a lot. Let me start with this. I'm pretty sure there's no science or research behind this. I read a lot of the rules that the agencies put out, and a lot of them are just knee-jerk reactions to something, or there's no science or research behind the rules. Like, yeah, they're not very well thought out. They become a norm, and then they're just stuck, and that's what we do. Let me tell you my opinion about what we should do, and I need to be careful because I don't want to tell you something wrong here. So I'm going to try not to. I'm going to tell you what I think, because nobody's ever told me exactly what to do. I've been told on this river, do that, on this river, do that. And then we just do it. But when there's no managing agency, or there's no presence, or there's no rule, we don't know what to do. We all make up what we do. First of all, the small pieces of food, you should get out. And if you're not, that's a problem. You need to use a strainer that when you pour your dishwater through, gets the small pieces of food. Do not skip that step. So when you say it'll attract pests, or it's better to dispose of strained dishwater in the river for low-use camps. Eventually the rain will do its thing. That I forget what this was. There's gonna be oil. There will be oils and dissolved sugars, but you need to get every piece of food. That's a responsibility of river runners. Please do not strain your dishwater either into the river or on the ground and let pieces of food get in there. That's a responsibility we should all take seriously and do well. I think in general, putting this stuff in the river is better. Soap, oils, sugars, definitely sugars, because sugars attract the meat bees. And so we like empty sodas, empty beers, I should go in the river. I think the question is dishwater with soap. The main thing is dishwater with soap. I think even like gray dishwater that didn't have soap, and then bleach water, I think it should go in the river, honestly. Unless it's a low volume river. Because like to me, the solution to pollution is dilution. Just get it in the river. I think the reason there's rivers that don't do that, I'm not sure, and if somebody knows can educate me, that would be sweet, is I think because these rivers are federally protected as wild and scenic rivers, and some of them, they're outstandingly, let me go back. For those of you that don't understand the wild and scenic river system, to be wild and scenic, you have to have two things. You have to be free of dams, so free flowing, and you have to have at least one outstandingly remarkable value. The Middle Fork, I think the Middle Fork has three of these values. So if I remember right, they're water quality, fish, and recreation. I might be wrong, there's something like that. On other rivers, these outstandingly remarkable values could be geology, scenery, different things. They have to have something about them makes them special. Generally, they fit in a category. You know, the fish, water quality, scenery, geology, botany, they're general things. Sometimes they're like crazy things, but they're generally those. When water quality is an outstandingly remarkable value based on the wild and scenic river designation, then we have to protect and enhance. Those are the key words, protect and enhance that outstandingly remarkable value. So on the Middle Fork of the salmon in particular, since water quality is designated in one of those ORVs, and ORV is the short terminology for outstandingly remarkable value, when water quality is an ORV, we can't degrade the water quality, which means nothing in the river. Nothing, yeah, pretty much nothing. Say nothing. We need to protect and enhance the water quality. It's a responsibility that we have, that the managing agencies have, to make sure we're doing as users. So anywhere that water quality is an outstandingly remarkable value, the soap, all the dishwater, bleach above the high water line, right? I feel like everywhere else, it should go in the river. And the reason above the high water line is like that way when the water gets high in the spring, it doesn't wash it into the river and cloud the water quality. I don't know. It seems to make some sense. I'm pretty sure like if you read the management plan for the Middle Fork of the Salmon, which we're not going to do here because it will take forever, it'd be fun to do. Like, I'm tempted to do it. It calls it out in there. And so that was just like when they wrote the management plan, so people got together, wrote a management plan, took public comment, and it wasn't science or research. It was just some people who just decided that's how they're going to protect and enhance that water quality, which is an outstandingly remarkable value of that wild and scenic river. I think that other rivers like the Rogue, it's a wild and scenic river, but water quality is not an outstandingly remarkable value. And so on the Rogue, like that's one where people put stuff into the river. Like it hasn't been dictated what to do or what not to do. And I think what happens is as guides, as boaters, we learn the river we work on our boat, like the Rogue, do this on the Rogue, do this in the Middle Fork, do this here. And then we apply that to the rivers until we get in trouble for like, oh, we're not supposed to do that. They told me to do that. And so I think we should understand the why. And the way I understand it and the way that I explain it, which could be wrong, I'll be really clear, it could be wrong, is if water quality is an ORV above the high water line. If it's not an ORV and the water's moving, right, and it's flushing stuff, it seems to make sense to put it in the river. That's where I draw the line. If I don't have any clear messaging from the agencies. And I mean, I don't remember the last time any of the agencies told me, other than the Middle Fork, because we hear it there, anybody's given us clear direction on what to do. Maybe I was daydreaming when they said it. I don't remember them ever saying it. But that's my take on that whole thing. So the answer to this question, yeah. So for getting rid of dishwater, yeah, they have different rules. And honestly, a lot of rules on rivers, I see this all the time. Like one river makes a rule, another river just copies it. So they don't, like the people who work in an office don't know what to do, but they go do it. They go like find their regulations. Say, oh, we'll just use the same regulations because somebody smart said that. Now I kind of want to see what ChatGPT says about this one, because that would be crazy if they gave a better. It was probably an even better answer. I'm honestly like this could just be the future of everything. Let's see what it says. More. Hey, thank you for the kind words. That means a lot. Okay. Oh man, it says you're absolutely right. Different agencies have different protocols. They're often based on volume, location, camp traffic, and ecosystem sensitivity. How does it know this? On high volume rivers like the Maine Salmon in Colorado, strain it and put it in the river because the river has the volume to dilute and disperse. Yep. On low volume rivers like the Smith, which is the ones you mentioned, the recommendation is to scatter dishwater above the high water line, well away from camp and water sources. This minimizes local pollution, protects aquatic ecosystems that might be fragile or can't handle the small pollution loads. Okay. The clear problem, which you mentioned, you're 100% right to worry about oil, sugars, and microfood particles. Yep. Oh, how does it know this? Some rangers have quietly set off the record. Yeah, if it's a major desert river and you can follow the straining and in-river method, that's probably better overall. How does the ChatGPT know what some rangers have quietly said? I don't want to be spreading this information, so I'm going to be very clear. A computer robot said this. I'm not claiming ranger said this. What does the science say? Oh, there is some solid research. Whoa. Well, now it's getting the cryptobiotic crust, which is different. Best practices. Scrape first, 2 bucket or 3 bucket. I'd say the 4 bucket system, honestly. Avoid greasy foods if you're limited on cleaning resources. Scatter dishwater only where it's allowed and makes ecological sense. When in doubt, in the river, in parentheses, if it's permitted. If you want, I can even help you make a laminated ketchup cleaning guide for your next trip. Are you kidding me? Yes. Well, hold on. This is insane. Yes, make that guide. Oh, whoa. This is good. I mean, I do not use a 2 bucket system. Use 4 buckets. Do like Makey soap water, hot soap water, hot rinse, cold bleach. Four buckets for sanitation for all of this. This ChatGPT thing. Imagine how much better it's going to be in a year or two. It is unreal. Oh, sorry. You can't all see what I was reading. I shouldn't have had this up here. I'm really bad at this. Anyway, I asked it about where should dishwater go? And the answer here is spectacular. Really interesting. Okay. Hopefully I answered that question well. And if I didn't, I have ChatGPT as a backup, so I feel pretty good about things. Let's see. Send ChatGPT a picture of a rapid asking for the best line. Do I have a rapid? Do I have a photo of a rapid available on my desktop? Oh man, watch this. Hold on. Okay, everybody. Oh, let me hear this. Hold on. I have video from, well, I have to log in to do this. I have video that one of our rowing school students sent me of him running Greenwall. I'm going to actually, while I get this ready, I'm just going to throw it up. Let's see. Upload video file. This is Greenwall from one of our students.
Greenwall. Here. Greenwall.
He sent this to me. We actually, I have to go. We watched this when we were in Ecuador during our course, and he wanted to show me how he applied his great oil management. So I want to ask ChatGPT what it thinks about Isaac's line.
Let's do it! Yeah,
it has an opinion. That would be unreal. Oh, this is too late. Okay. Anyway, let's while we have this up, I want to talk about Isaac's line. I'm going to do a video about this. I'm going to get down. So in our classes, I just had a class over the weekend where the student fell out of the boat, and we talked a lot about boat stability, how to stay in the boat better. And shipping your oar is just fundamental to stay in the boat. I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of you. And I see a lot of people throw their oars forward, which is bad technique. Shipping is handles back, blades forward. I'm not going to do a whole class about it right now. But if you want to stay in the boat, having one oar shipped and one not shipped is a very stable position in the boat. So if you want to stay in the boat better, that's great. Also, when you're going around rocks, shipping oars correctly, go back. Watch that ship right there. That is correct shipping. That is beautiful. Watch this. Beautiful. He gets by the rocks. His right oar isn't shipped all the way because he doesn't have the wingspan to do two at once. Maybe he does a little bit, but he really needs the left ship and kind of needs the right ship. So the ship. The reason shipping is so powerful for rowing, for especially rowing gearboats, is at this point, if his oars were thrown forward, first of all, he's unstable because he's either holding on to weird oars or they're out of his hands. But he doesn't get to use his oar. That left oar until the entire thing passes the rock. Watch what he does with his left oar. Boom, dips in the eddy and makes a move. If he'd thrown him forward, he'd be stuck on rocks. But because he's shipped correctly, he's able to just go right. The boat's in front of him took the right leg. Took a little bit more of an exciting one. Missed that. Right ship, it's high, it's motion going as well. Left ship, it's high, it's double ship control. As soon as he passes, he has to go through. If you don't ship correctly, you're either down on your hand or you're like leaning all the way forward super unstable. And you don't get that into your arms. There are only two rapids. I know one way up. Let's see that mistake. Putting your hand forward way to that. It's that. Not even giving a name, not being an honor this week. It's simply magic. There's two places that allow it to happen. One of them is the mid-shooter. It's so narrow. If you do this, you'll probably tag him off. It's super easy to throw your handles forward. At the bottom, it's cool. You don't need to make a move. The problem I have with people that do it there is they think it's a balance. No. Oh, I'm sorry, the video. I don't hear the audio. I'm so sorry, guys. Thanks for letting me know. Let me go back to the shipping. So I don't ship over any falls. I throw my handles forward in proper technique. There's one other rapid I would do that, and everywhere else, handles back, blades forward. If you go over the main rainy falls drop, handles back, blade forward. That's how I do it. But the mid-shoot, I throw the handles forward. Yeah, Trey, thanks for letting me know. I make that mistake a lot because I can't hear the video, and I know it makes this whole thing kind of suck. Okay, maybe an AI video on throwback coiling techniques. Well, let's see what you got there, International Rafting Federation GTE. Let's pull our friend ChatGPT back up and see what we can do. This is going to better turn into a nerd alert show. Let's see, how do I? Let's go share screen. I mean, it's crazy. Make a video about throw bag coiling techniques. Can I do that? Okay, it didn't make the video for us, but it's making us a script. Okay, close stuff up a hand doing a traditional hand over hand coil. You know that's the way I like doing it. Butterfly coil. I think it's inferior, but you can, you know, do whatever you want. The stuff and shake method. Demonstrate restuffing the rope directly into the bag with wide shakes. I've never seen a stuff and shake method. Hey, there's no TRU method either. Huh, there we go. Would you like me to generate a voiceover script and storyboard the visuals? Yes. Yes, please. What? Is it really going to do this for us? All right. We're about to get this video. Our robot overlords are not that far from telling us how to do everything. This is just too easy. This shouldn't be, by the way, I know I'm showing this on my show. I honestly think this should probably be illegal. Like, this is insane. Here we go. Here's our video, I think. Getting started. If this really makes a video for us, that will be crazy. This is probably using a lot of power just to make this video. Rating image may take a moment. Thank you everybody for holding on. If you have a question, now would be the time because we're just filling dead airspace with me chatting and drinking my coffee. Here's a comment. I had ChatGPT build a model for predictive flows on Illinois this past weekend. Got it right within 20 CFS. Whoa, do you have that model to send? I mean, it's not that hard to figure it out because it's like super easy right now. How do you have do you just ask, build me a model for predictive flows in Illinois, and it just builds you a model? Oh man, we're getting there. Oh look, he has a Lotus PFD on. This is crazy. Everyone, if you're watching the show, oh, we have one more thing to do. Well, I forgot about that. Wait, is this the whole thing? It asks, do you like this personality? Yeah, I like this personality. Uh-oh. This isn't a video though. This is adorable. This is just a photo. He has a whitewater guidebook. That's good. He has a mediocre throw bag. He has a raft. But it's not a video. It's just a meme. Well, this is what we got. We got a meme. Okay. I thought it was gonna be a video. It's too bad. Okay, well, let's finish up the show because I'm just rambling on a little bit. So I gave it the tabular data based on the prior few peaks as input and asked it to use the best modeling technique available. I was on an O3 mini high. I have no idea what O3 mini high is, but I'm guessing that's good. I'm not that good at ChatGPT yet, but I know how to use it, kind of. Okay, let's finish up. The last thing I'll talk about is our May 4th Illinois trip. We have a trip on May 4th. We had a cancellation. We have space available. It looks like we're probably going to have enough flow. It looks good. Maybe I'll maybe Mike make me a model for the May 4th and tell me if the flow is going to be good. But it looks like we're going to go. If you want to do the Illinois, we'd love to have you. If you ask me to row your own boat, I'm going to tell you no, unfortunately. So you can't row your own boat, but if you want to go and see the river, go on a trip with us, we have some spots, and it looks like things are good. So please consider joining us on the trip. And one more comment. Can anybody tell me what permits, et cetera, would I need to float the Upper Green River to Dinosaur? And how long before going I should start? Well, luckily, we don't need – how do I do this? We just have to ask GPT, what permits do you need to float the Upper Green River to Dinosaur? It's just searching the web. Here's the answers. Yep, just go to recreation.gov. There's all the rules. Easy. And then you ask, how long before going should I'm not sure what you're asking here. Or going, should I start applying for a permit or should I start prepping the trip? But I bet ChatGPT can figure out what you're asking. Yeah, 6 to 8 months in advance. Boom, here's your timeline. Just follow the timeline. They're good to go. Sweet. Well, this might be one of the last episodes I do because honestly, ChatGPT is better than I am. Well, thanks everybody for watching another great episode. Next Tuesday, I will probably not be here. I'll try to have a show maybe Thursday or Friday. We'll see what we can pull off. If you have questions, as always, put them on whitewaterguidebook.com. Go to the Gear Garage tab to ask a question. If you like the show, hit like and subscribe and leave a comment. And I'll see you all next time we do.